Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. Steve? Are you here, Steve? Big tall boy. Dad's a big boy. Holiday. Where's Steve Holiday? Steve Holiday, do you and your wife have tickets for You Are Loved? What did he say to me? Oh, okay. I know. Oh, wow. Okay. I know he's been out of work. He's been laid off. I was going to give you that set of tickets, but you won't use them anyways. Well, praise God. I didn't. See, I've been out of link here for like 12 solid days, so things are weak. I know the rapture hasn't happened because I'm still here, but other than that, okay, amen. Yeah, listen, if there's anybody here that really needs those tickets, those people did that because they want to be a blessing to you. And I know some people are out of work and stuff like that. It's a great night out. It's a tremendous night out. Please take advantage of it. All righty. Steve, give us a call about the baby, okay? All righty. 1 Samuel chapter 8, look at verse 5. And you got 1 Samuel 8, verse 5? And said unto him, behold, thou art old. He's talking to the prophet Samuel. You know, when the preacher gets old, boy, they just want to put him away. But can I say something? When the preacher gets old, don't throw them away. That's when they're most valuable. You say, you're saying it because you get... No, the old man has went through all the trials. The old man has went through all the battles. He's got an understanding of what's going on. That's why you kids ought to listen to your parents. Well, they don't know what we're going through. They don't. They've already been your age. They've went through what you've went through. Even the googly goolies. So when your mom and dad tells you something, you listen to them. And they said, behold, thou art old. You're old, Samuel, prophet of God. You're just old and shriveled up, and you're almost not worth it. You're about worthless now, Sam. And thy sons walk not in thy ways, nor make us not walk in thy ways. Now, look what they said. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. They didn't reject you, Samuel, but they have rejected who? Me, that I should not reign over them. Samuel, it's far beyond the king issue. They just don't, it's not you. They don't want, Samuel, you represent me. They don't want me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, you put this in my heart. And I know if you'll give me the grace to stand and preach, I'll preach it with all power and boldness. And Lord, I pray it can be a blessing to everyone here. I sure want to be. Help us understand the day that we're living in. Help us to understand the importance of what we need to do about our King. And Father, help me now to be say the words, everything that you'd want me to say. And help me, Father, to blot out anything I'm not supposed to say. And I pray that everything I say will be a blessing and pleasing to you and acceptable in your sight. I ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When any people, any country, and especially when God's people refuse to listen to God, to God's man, and to God's word, judgment is soon to follow. When people don't listen to God, God's word, and God's man, you mark her down. You mark her down. Judgment's soon to come. When everyone does what's right in their own eyes, you mark her down. Judgment is soon to come. Matter of fact, when you read the book of Judges, over and over it says, "And there was not a king in Israel," and there was not a king in Israel. And then two times it says this in Judges 17:6 and 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why did they do right in their own eyes? Because they did not want God's word, and they did not want God, and they did not want God's prophet. They shoved it all away. And when people say no to God, they just say, I'm going to do what I think's right. Because God's told us what's right, and God's told us what's wrong. Hello? And look at verse 7 again, our text verse. God tells the prophet Samuel, Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. Samuel, I know you're upset. And by the way, I didn't read all the way down through the end of the chapter. He said, here's what's going to happen to you. Now they're going to make armies, and you're going to get taxed, and you're going to lose your kids and all kinds of stuff, all because you had to have a king over you, a king that doesn't want me. Hello? Hello? Now listen to me. Look at that verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. Yeah, I know they're mad at you. I know they're mad at you, Samuel. And Samuel, I know they want to put you away, but it's not because of you, Samuel. It's because of what you represent. It's because of what you say. It's because who you're speaking for. You're talking for me. You're standing for me. You're representing me. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Samuel. They've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know, down from, when you study the scriptures, by the way, the Bible covers 6,000 years. You have from Adam all the way through the Old Testament. The Old Testament is up to Jesus around 4,000 years. And then from Jesus' birth till now is around 2,000 years. So we roughly have around 6,000 years. Can anyone say amen? You have 4,000 in the Old Testament, 2,000 in the New Testament, and I know Jesus is coming soon because 6,000, six is the number of man, and God made man on the sixth day, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to do numerology this morning, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back soon. If you're not saved, I hope you get saved because time's running out real fast. Notice, from Adam, think with me now, I thought about this, Brother Josh, from Adam down through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right up to Moses, right up here to Moses in this time, Israel had what we call a theocracy. Theom, God, a theocracy, are you with me? A theocracy is a government that's governed by God. A theocracy is a state that's governed by the immediate direction of God. For instance, let me give you some examples, Tom. Israel was a theocracy. God told Abraham where to go. God told Isaac where to go. He told Abraham what to do. Offer up. Then remember in Moses, they were in the wilderness. A cloud by day, fire by night. Are you with me? God took Moses up in the tent, gave him the Ten Commandments. God was always their king. See, in a theocracy, God is the king. People follow God's direct commands. He gives direct commands through his word or through himself personally or through his prophets. But in a theocracy, God is the King of Kings. And people are subject to what he says. Can anyone say amen? By the way, America has a pretty good link to that. Now, we're not a theocracy. But I'm glad we started with God we trust. And we were trying to be led by what we felt the Almighty would have us do in our country. We've since long ways went away from that. but our forefathers had the right idea. Amen? Now listen to me. I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at their first king. look at their first king. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abia, the son of Zerah, and the son of Bechorath, and the son of, boy, if I get all these right, don't matter, you wouldn't know it if I was right or wrong anyways. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find out, man, was that right or wrong? No, you both are wrong. Benjamin, a mighty man of, notice this man, the first king of Israel was Saul. Look what they were looking for though, Bobby. He was a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man. A goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel goodlier person than he. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any people. In other words, he was the tallest and the strongest person of all Israel. The first king. See what they were looking for. They were looking for a protector. They were looking for someone that would be strong. Hello? Give us a king. Well, what kind of requirements? What are you looking for in your king? See, if you really want to be smart, you shouldn't be, the statue of a king doesn't matter. The spirituality of the king matters everything. Are you still with me? So they got the tallest man in all Israel to be king. Saul was the tallest man they had. He was a big hombre. He was their protector. He was their strength. Can I tell you something? I don't care how many men you find that are big and strong. Their strength is not equal to God. And there's no one, Brother Leo, as powerful as our Almighty God. And by the way, when Goliath came and challenged him, all the Israelites' knees were shaken, and so was Saul's. Their protector, their mighty tall giant. He wasn't a giant, but he was a tall man. Their mighty protector, their mighty king. He wasn't so mighty after all. He was a pipsqueak. I'm glad no matter what, no matter who faces us, they're never no match for our God. You see, they traded their God in, their all-powerful, all-watchful eye God, for a pipsqueak. Are you still with me? You know, Saul shook in his boots when he saw Goliath. And by the way, it was the king's place to go out and fight. He wouldn't go. Not me, man. I don't care if I'm supposed to. I'm still not. That guy, I'm scared to death of that guy. God looked down in mercy like he always does. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? It wasn't for his mercy. I wouldn't be here today. I'd be dead and probably dying in hell today. But I'm so glad for God's mercy. Amen. And God saw a little shepherd boy named David. He said, I'm going to send little David there, and he's going to fight that big giant. He's got faith that his God can do all things. So a little boy, little shepherd boy, just a pint-sized little fellow, said, don't worry, king. I'll do your fighting for you. With a pocket full of rocks and a sling, he went out and killed the big giant. Only took one stone, too, by the way. He had five stones. You see, Goliath had four children, four sons. One of them had six fingers on each hand. See, I believe he was ready to kill each one of them. Can anyone say amen? So the king sticks out this little shepherd boy to fight the mighty giant. You know, we need someone who will say today, we have a lot of politicians that want to be king. Tuesday, are they voting here in Ohio Tuesday? Tuesday's soup, they're calling it Super Tuesday or some big day. It's a lot of, it's a political, 20 states are voting for your primaries for your presidential candidates. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of politicians that want to be king of America. I know we call him the president, but in relation to king, can anyone say amen? But can I tell you something? They're not the answer for America. Amen. Matter of fact, they're part of the problem. You see, we need someone running for king that says, I can't help you, but I know someone who can. You see, we don't need a giant. We need a spiritual giant. I'm not worried about economics. God will take care of that. I'm not worried about all the fundamentals. God will take care of that. You just get your spiritual things racked up right, and I'm going to tell you, everything else, God blesses. Now, I want you to take your paper that you've already looked at. And you don't have to agree with me on this, but I'm always trying to teach as I preach. And I just roughly gave you a rundown of all the kings of Israel. There were 42 kings in the history of Israel, and one queen. And if you'll notice there, look at your top paper. Saul was your first king. You see that at the top of your paper? Then Saul, when he died, his son. Then after that, David. And then after David, his son, Solomon. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Now, of course, Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. And Eddie, when Solomon died, Rehoboam took over. And that's during his reign is when the two kingdoms split. You have the kingdom of Judah, which is Rehoboam's, which is David's lineage, and then you got, which is the southern kingdom. Who says the south will never rise again? It's going to rise in Israel. I thought that was good. I know there's not all Yankees here. The kingdom of Israel is the northern kingdom. And, of course, you have, in the southern kingdom, you got, I believe, Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and the other ones were in the northern kingdom. The northern part of Israel, and it shows you all the kings. Now, if you'll notice that, you'll notice that there's 19, look up here. In the northern kingdom, there was 19 kings. By the way, every one of them were bad. You might say, well, what about Jehu? He cleansed the temple. Yeah, he cleansed the temple, Brother Dave, but he was a counterfeit. What did I preach that? What was that animal I told you to change colors? He was a chameleon politician, preacher. Because he cleansed the temple. You know what he did? He kept worshiping the golden calf. Hello? He really was trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, but he didn't pull over God's. Are you still with me? So there's 19 kings in the northern kingdom, and every one of them were bad. Then your southern kingdom, I believe there was only 8, maybe 7, but I got down 8 here. There was only 8 out of 20, Brother Coolidge, there was only 8 good kings. Are you still with me? So out of 42 kings, out of those 19 and 20, out of those 19 and 20, 39, out of those 39 kings there from the north and the south, there was only 8 good ones out of the total. By the way, did you notice, only the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, had the good ones. By the way, they all were out of the lineage of David. Then you had You had one, in the middle of your paper, you had Ahazi. He was bad. And then his mother, Athaliah, put down first. Well, look at 2 Kings 11. That's the only queen that Israel had. Turn up to 2 Kings chapter 11. Forty-two kings. How many kings were there? Is a king a man or a woman? You're a smart group here today. And one wicked queen. And do you know how that queen got to be queen? She killed her own grandchildren. Fortunately, one got rescued, and he became a great king. But if you look at your paper, and look at 2 Kings chapter 11, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, by the way, I won't get that some more, I'll keep preaching. She arose and destroyed, by the way, he got killed, Bobby, because he sought out devils to find out if he was going to be cured. And God said, tell the prophet to tell him, like, you're going to die, you rascal, going to the devil's group. You know, because you ask and see if you're going to be healed or not, you find, you know, when you that go out to your Ouija boards and all this sorcery stuff, that's demonic. I don't need a sorcery or some wicked crystal ball to tell me my future. God tells me my future in the scripture, and the Holy Spirit bears witness in my heart. Amen? Well, anyways, notice she arose, verse 1, and destroyed all the seed royal. She killed her own blood so she could be queen. I would die for my grandchildren. And I bet you if I took a vote here, every one of you, that I would have to believe 100% of you in here, unless there's something wrong with you, you would give your life for your grandchildren or your children. Jackie, she killed. She was so wicked. She wanted to rule so bad. She killed her own grandchildren. By the way, do you know who her dad was? Do you know who this Jezebel's, do you know who her dad mom was? Ahab and Jezebel. There's something about that line. It flows right into Bill Clinton and Hillary. It just flows right in there. Just flows. There's a lineage there. But I want you to see something. I know I get people mad, but when we get to heaven, you're going to talk to God about it. Those people are wicked. They're wicked. You can get mad at me what you want. Those people are wicked. I remember when he had oral sex in the White House with that young girl. If I'd have been her daddy, I'd have somehow got a meeting with him and beat the fire out of him. You know, there was a fad going on for years in our public schools with the young kids. The girls were giving boys oral sex because they thought it was cool because the president did it in the White House. You wonder why God looks down on America. You wonder why preacher gets mad about these politicians that are evil. It's got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. By the way, I'm not happy with the guy in there now either. But at least he's not a whoremonger. And where was I? She, 42 kings and one queen, and the queen that was there, she, by the way, she left 6 years, almost 7 years, and they killed her. She finally got killed. Amen? And then her grandson, Joash, he became a king, and he was a good king. He did well for God, Joash. But anyways, I want you to see something. Did you notice that the one queen wasn't God's choice, She killed to get that power. And God, I believe, wants men to be in authority. I know you're a chauvinist preacher. That's all right. You call me what you want. You know, what's happened in America is this. Preachers are afraid to preach anymore. You're so afraid to say something, but I'm not. I'm not afraid to speak. There's going to be a famine coming. And when the famine rose, God rose up a prophet named Elijah. I'm not going to die. Amen. God's going to keep me around here because I'm like an Elijah. Amen. I'm not afraid of people's faces. Amen. I'm not. And I put it out just the way it is. And I don't care who gets mad at me. I'm going to try to stir up those preachers Tuesday. I really am. I hope the Lord let me walk. I wish I could get that foot back where I could run up and down the aisle and grab some of those preachers. I really physically want to shake them up, along with spiritually. Amen? America needs to wake up. God doesn't want women in power. He wants men to run the country. And you get mad at me all you want. Boy, preacher, why didn't you stay home? But did you know the most? God knew I was coming. God knew you were coming. Wonder if God wanted you to hear this. I never thought about that. I know. Well, I want you to start thinking about it a little bit. You see, when people don't want to hear God, don't want to hear God's word and God's man, that's what they say. We don't like him. Amen. You're not mad at me right now. You're mad at God. Amen. You're not rejecting me right now. You're rejecting God. Amen. Titus 2:3-5 says this. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. In other words, don't be a drunkard. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Love their husbands. Wives, you ought to love your husbands. You know, we got so many divorces, so many families breaking up. You wives ought to love your husbands. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, you ought to do what God says. You ought to love your husbands. Husband comes home, the dog's there wagging the tail, the goldfish is swimming, he's excited, the cat's meow, meow, jumping up and down on the couch. The kid's, daddy's home, and the wife's saying, oh, that guy's home already. We wonder what's wrong. Boy, when you were dating, you couldn't wait to hug him. When we were dating, you couldn't wait to hug them, kiss them. You know, that's the trouble with America today than the Christian home. The loves went out. Well, he should be the initiator. Hey, gal, let me tell you something. All you got to do is light a little fire. It'll be a blaze. You just strike the match. You go out down this secret Victoria's Secret place, or Millions Place Mall, get a nice nightgown. Looks pretty. I'm serious. Get in there right before he comes to bed and put it on. Just sit there on top of the bed and say, hey, big guy. Watch him come alive. Watch that old guy come alive. Woo! Trouble with you, you never hug him. You never kiss him. Well, we've been married too long for that. It should never stop. That's why so many men and women, they never have no affection one for another. When they're out somewhere and someone gives them a little affection, they easily fall for them because they're starving for affection. I think Christians ought to get smarter. And by the way, I'm not trying to be filthy right now. God knows my heart. I'm trying to help your home. Wouldn't hurt you when he gets home, grab him, say, give him a hug, put your arms around him, say, oh, honey, I'm glad you're home. I miss you. I love you. Give a couple smooches. And say, boy, I got more for later on tonight. See how good he probably helped you do the dishes. Honey, wait after dinner, we can get together. Wait, I'll take you out right now. Let's go out and eat. You don't have to cook. Hello? Listen. We're being destroyed. The Christian homes are being destroyed. We need to get a little smarter. God's Bible, God is in, Bobby, God's Bible is, I'm not, by the way, I'm not trying to be filthy like the filth. I'm trying to give you wisdom now. After you get married, say, well, we're married now, it doesn't matter. It always matters. Amen. You should keep the love burning always. I don't care if you've been married for 1 year or 50 years, you ought to keep the love burning always. Can anybody hear me? Well, if you're not mad about that, let me go on to the next one. Love your husbands. Love your children. But don't take your children over your husband. Amen. Your husband ought to have priority over your children. The children will grow up and be gone someday, but you'll be there. Don't argue in front of the children. If you got a disagreement, wait till they go to bed. In your privacy, you guys work it out. Never take the children. Don't let the children get in between you. They'll try to split you. Always take the side of the other. The husband should take the side of the wife. The wife should take the side of the husband. To never let the children get the advantage. Hello? Don't leave home and go back to mom. Stay there and work it out. Every come to my house, I say, go back home where you belong. Go back to your husband. Hello? Isn't this good stuff? Did you guys miss me? And then it says, hold on to your seat. Oh, you're going to be really mad now. Keepers love their children to be discreet, chaste. In other words, have some character and some integrity and look good. Don't look around like a slouch with a cigarette hanging down. 4 o'clock in the afternoon with your rollers in your hair and mascara down. Say, hi, bud. How you doing? Not too good anymore. Was. Until I came home. Hey, the kid's got a couple shots in a diaper waiting for you to change. Get over there. You didn't have time to do it yet. And by the way, Steve, it's not wrong to help change a diaper once in a while. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. What destroyed America? World War II. We the men had to go fight the Nazi Germany and Japan. And the women, God bless you, you went to work, you had to. And if we wouldn't have had the women, and by the way, if we wouldn't have women, we'd be in real trouble. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my mother, my grandmother, my girls, my daughters. Listen, this world would be lost without women. Not putting. By the way, I don't put women down. I put them on a pedestal. That's where God puts them. Bible says they're the weaker vessel. I don't want my wife out being a jackhammer. I don't want her doing that. I want her to be what God wants her to be. Chase. Hello? Discreet. And keepers at home. When the women went to the workforce, it was a downfall for America. Our homes have been destroyed. Now, ladies, listen to me before you turn me off. I know that in that day we live, it takes two people working. I'm not throwing fire at you. I'm just trying to tell you, when in God's perfect plan for the home, the wife stays home and takes care of the children, and the husband goes out and makes the salary. Right. And that's why, but what's happened, it takes everybody working now, and that's why we have over a 50% divorce rate, because the homes are not structured like God said. Are you still mad at me? I'm giving you truth. So I say, hey, Mrs. Clinton, go home! By the way, it says, obedient to their own husbands. I noted this. More wives are more obedient to their bosses, to their superiors at work, than they are to their own husbands. Sir. And you wonder what's wrong with our Christian home. Do you mean to tell me that superior, that boss, that manager has more authority to tell you to do something than God? In other words, you'd obey his voice, but wouldn't obey the voice of God. Hello? It's quiet in here. We just need to get back to what God says, Evangelist Black. Now look at your paper again. And then I'm going to close this up. Did you notice there's 42 kings? How many see that? Did you and one evil queen that doesn't count. Did you notice the northern kingdom? How many good kings was there in the northern kingdom? None. Watch this. I'm going to give you a tremendous truth, and I'm all done. How many good kings in the southern kingdom? How many were there good kings? Eight. At least there was. Was there more in the southern kingdom than the northern kingdom? Eight times more, wasn't there? Now I want you to see something. Both of them left God. Both of them went into captivity. But I want you to see something. I'm all done. Or I'm pretty close to being done. And by the way, when you read, let me give you this truth. Eileen, when you indeed read 1 and 2 Kings, about all the different kings, 1 and 2 Kings covers approximately 400 years. So when you read about the kings, Josh, there's about 400 years span in 1 and 2 Kings. When you read the book of Chronicles, Chronicles always talks about the southern, the tribe of Judah. And if they ever mention the northern kingdom, it's always because there's something going on with the Judah that they're talking. The only time they bring up the northern kingdom if they're doing something for Judah. Otherwise, their focus is always on Judah because that's where Jesus came, the line that Jesus came out of. Can anyone say amen? Now, I want you to see this last thought, and I'm gonna close. Only eight kings out of 20, southern kingdom, and out of the northern kingdom, there was no kings. Now, look at your paper, and I'm all done. I did all that to give you one thought. Did you see in your northern kingdom, then they went into captivity, Assyrian captivity, 722 BC before Christ. How many see that? And I've got a little note down at the bottom. Well, let me read the note. The people living in both of these kingdoms turned their hearts away from the Lord God, and God, he judged them. But God first judged the wicked northern kingdom of Israel by sending the Assyrians in 722 BC, 700 years before Christ was born. And then later, the Babylonian captivity, 586. How many see that? Now, they had the same amount of years. Now watch this. I want you to see this. But Bobby, approximately, the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, by the way, their headquarters was Jerusalem. Amen. Pretty good headquarters, amen? But God spared them from captivity almost 140 years more than he did the northern kingdom. You know, God says over in Psalms 90, we have 70. So he actually, that's two lifetimes. 70 years for a lifetime, that's two lifetimes. He gave them that much extra. How many are with me? In other words, what I'm trying to get this, Miss Murd, is this. Because you saw the good king, there was eight kings that tried to bring the country back to God. The light stayed on longer. Mona, the judgment of the wrath and judgment of God was stayed almost 140 years than the other ones. The north had, they came down on the north 140 years before, but because they had some righteousness, it stayed God's judgment for 140 years I want to quote this scripture to you. And don't tell me it doesn't mean something. Proverbs 14:34 says this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And the northern kingdom was destroyed 140 years before, went into captivity before the southern one, because the southern had some righteousness. Because he had 8 godly kings. And those 8 godly kings gave that country another, gave that, that the tribe of Judah of the northern, of the south, 140 more years. You see, righteousness does extend God's judgment. What are you getting at, preacher? I don't see one politician running today on the ridiculous Republicans or the Democrats . Did you notice I said Republicans first? The front running Republicans, the front running Democrats, I don't see one that's worth voting for. Now the good ones, they have a few that's fairly good in the Republicans, they get very little attention. See, I'm not worried about Mitt Romney, the Mormon that don't know God. I don't care how much he can do for financial things for our country. I want a man that knows God that bring America back to God. You bring America back to God, God will bring America up. I don't want Obama that won't even pledge allegiance to our flag. And Hillary Clinton, who is as wicked as Jezebel in the Old Testament. Get you? I'm really digging into some of you, ain't I? When you get to heaven, you'll be sorry if you're saved. Probably some of you ain't saved. Anyone can love those wicked people. I wonder about your salvation. If you can't see how wicked they are, something's not right. Get mad at me what you want. You're just caught up in your politics. Forget about Republicans, Democrats. Forget about independents. Just put your focus on God. Amen. I don't care about either one of them. But we ought to be praying that God raises up somebody, some man, not a woman, some man that has some righteousness, that has some holiness. He doesn't have to be a preacher. Just has some moral conviction, some integrity, and some character that would bring America back to God. Hello? You see, and I'm all done, the reason they don't want your candidate, Josh, that preaches about God, America doesn't want a candidate that wants God. They want a candidate that doesn't want God. See, the reason you can vote for those people and not have a bad conscience, you really don't care about what kind of candidate. You don't care if that candidate wants God or not. But what I'm trying to tell you is, unless you get a candidate that does have God, your country's going to have a... We got some dark clouds real soon. There's a famine coming to America. And all these little wimp preachers are going to be running behind the shed. There'll be some old prophet still standing and holding the fort, though. What America needs is a leader. What America needs is a president that fears God. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. I don't care what folks. I know you think I don't care about the parties. I really don't. I care about the person. How many can get that? And by the way, I'm so disappointed in the president we have right now. I'm so disappointed. So I'm knocking the Republicans too. It's not that. I just want someone that will do what's right in God's eyes. See, what America needs is a leader. They need is a president. They need a man that fears God and that will follow his word. And I don't see it. And the truth is, the ones that I think that are trying to walk with God somewhat, they don't even give them no attention. Yeah. Why is that? I'll tell you why. I've had time to sit and think, Brother Bobby. America wants a king that doesn't want God.
Yeah. Amen.
America wants a king that does not want God. And preachers better start preaching in the pulpits, because unless we get this country turned aside, turned around quick, America has got some cloud and some famine coming that you've never seen the likes of. Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, 7, they've not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. Those Republican candidates, those Democrat candidates, they've not rejected you, preacher. They've rejected me. America, prepare for your king. America, prepare for the famines and judgment of God. America, prepare for your king that's going to take us into captivity and bondage. I put, may God have mercy on all of us in America. America, you'll soon get your king. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you would help America to raise up a man. I don't care what party, but a man that would love you. Doesn't have to be a preacher, but a man that would have integrity and character, and a man that would seek the things of God to bring America back to what it was when we founded it. God, I see the way people are voting. Christians see nothing wrong in candidates that are godly, ungodly. They're godless, downright wicked, evil. And they see nothing wrong. And it really worries me. Holy Spirit of God, give enlightenment to our people, especially your own. Lord, help our church to seek you and seek out a man that would bring our country back to God. Oh God, please help America. It's not too late. Father, I pray for Christians here today. I pray I've not offended any, but if I did, Father, I pray they'll know that I did it trying to help them in the things of Christ. And Father, if there's anyone be here lost, I pray, dear God, with all my heart that they would see that they're one breath from hell, one heartbeat from hell. And that Christ loves him and died for him. Came to earth and died and suffered and rose that third day. Now reaches out from heaven and says, come, come. I want to save your soul. Help him to be saved today. How many could say with a lifted hand, preacher, I know for sure. I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you, me. Put it down. Would there be someone say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven or hell. And I am concerned. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I won't come, you won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Just raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. I don't want to die and go to hell. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Anyone else? I don't want to die and go to hell. Yes, sir. God bless you. I see that. Took courage. Took a man to do that. God bless you. I saw that. Who else? I don't want to die and go to hell, preacher. You know, there's a little fairy type, little fairy preacher on TV. You all like him. I won't say his name. Not a Baptist. He gives a little invitation at the end of a sermon after him and his wife preach. For 1 minute, he says, and he can say this prayer, Jesus, come on in and be my Savior. Well, he ought to be crying out, Tommy, hey, there's a hell! 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 Christ wants to save you from hell! I'm so sick of these liberal, washed-down, milky toast preachers. They'll have their day. Who else? Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Who else? Several raised their hand. Pray for me. Anyone? Maybe I didn't see your hand. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. There was two or three hands that went up. Maybe some I didn't even see. Maybe some wanted to put their hand up, but they just didn't have enough courage or they felt embarrassed. And oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will bring them and they'll trust Christ today as their Savior. And they'll grab hold of eternal life through Jesus Christ. They'll have all their sins forgiven. And they can lay their head down tonight on a pillow and know they're going to go to heaven when they die. I pray for Christians that you give them some convictions. Oh God, no wonder the world doesn't have convictions. The body of Christ don't even have convictions. They're just as much for the evil people as the lost people are. Lord, help us. Oh, dear God, help us. Help our country before we lose the whole thing. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.